This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset. I have had a shitty weekend.
Well, Pat, so I have. I mean, we had a few sort of FaceTimes, didn't we?
Yeah.
And you did mention to me how, it was a bit of a shitter.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think yours is a little bit hormonally.
Oh, yeah. Like, the other thing I think.
Yeah.
The other thing I think, and I know lots of people that listen will probably resonate with this. It is really hard at weekends when you don't have kids.
Mm.
Because you do have, like, this sort of almost, like, lack of purpose.
Yeah.
You know, I know your kids are older and, it's very different, but if you've got kids, it's just an added dynamic in your house. I mean, I think it must be so tough for people who live on their own, but, it just sort of brought up all of those shit feelings of, like, not really feeling like I've got any purpose or, you know, not that it's just having kids that defines you, but you understand. Anyway, I sobbed my heart out on Saturday, cried multiple times. I mean,
you cannot underestimate the value of a good ball.
No, you can't. I agree with that.
I mean, if you're feeling like in a shit place
for
whatever reason, having a good cry always, always makes you feel a bit better.
I agree.
I think, you know, let's just embrace these moments as and when they come for whatever reason. You know,
I think that is what we've got to do.
I think weekends on the whole people find tough, whether it's
hard.
It's because you kind of highlight some things in your life that you struggle with anyway.
Yeah.
Or I think the Monday to Friday you can kind of cope with
in
lockdown because you generally do have some sort of routine and rhythm.
Although
to your
I
week.
Bet that's harder if you're furloughed.
Yes.
I think
it's
different for us because we're both still working.
Oh, yeah. And I totally
hear that.
But I think
if you're on furlough...
Or lost your job. I mean...
Oh, God. I genuinely feel for people who don't have, like, a job at the moment.
Yeah.
Be that through furlough or having lost your job, which, God, that is just awful.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, we're here to try and find the funny, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, really, Pat, so you've come in and really sort of brought the mood down straight away. Which is really not what this podcast is about. But, you know, we're keeping it real.
We are keeping it real.
Real, guys. So off the back of our chat last week regarding the length it takes to cook oven chips. I mean, we had a lot of response to that, didn't we, Pat?
Honestly, so many people were like, put oven chips in, still cooking, put them in 3 years ago.
Still raw.
Yeah.
But we had an excellent message again through the Finding the Funny podcast page, and this came from Aaron. Now this is a slight deviation on the chip, okay?
Okay,
because he's talking hash brown.
Well, hash browns are nightmares because I did bring that up last
week.
That's
true.
They're
actually,
a nightmare too. They say 18 minutes, and that is a complete load of bollocks.
Yeah. Well, this is a little hack from Aaron. So Aaron says, "Hey Ruth and Ange, hope all is well. Love the podcast. So." Listening to your sad endeavour with hash browns. Quick life hack. I mean, seriously, I'm trying this and I know you are, Pat, because I just know you.
Yeah.
Put your toaster on the highest setting.
Yeah.
Pop them in for 3 cycles and Bob's your uncle. Perfect crispy hash browns every time.
I am trying. So what, you obviously turn it right up, put it in, let it cook, pop,
let it pop
down.
Down. Pop.
Pop.
Down. Pop.
You've got to pop down. Yeah. Pop down. Pop down. Pop down. Eat.
Eat. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I would never have thought. Do you know what, Aaron? If you do continue to listen, can you get back in touch and tell us how did you, I mean, how did you figure that out? Did you just think, fuck this, I'm putting these in toast? He went back for the 14th time to check his hash browns and was like, oh my God, these are going in the toaster, man. There must be a better way to cook
or
this shit.
Was this something he's, you know, someone said the same life hack to him, he's tried it and never looked back.
Okay, and just finally on the messages last week, we had this message in from Charlotte and it says, hello, happy Friday. Just listen to this week's pod, 100% spot on in every way. I bunged some oven chips in on Sunday and they're still cooking now on Friday. And then she says, but seriously, I loved Angie's bit on the menopause. It was absolutely amazing. It's definitely not spoken about enough. I've been through a chemical menopause at 28 and the crazy hot sweats, lack of sleep, the feeling like someone is standing behind you, the memory loss, man alive. It was a proper trial and only recognised by my colleagues in their late 50s. I only hope that the podcast make people have at least a chat about it and realise that this can happen to people a lot younger. Mm. Anyway, ladies, you brighten and inform the week. Have the best weekend. Thank you, Charlotte.
Oh, that is such a lovely message.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that menopause chat really, really, really helped a lot of people. Mm. I don't think either of us really kind of like thought that it would be that helpful. But
no,
I've had so many messages
Same.
From women saying, mm. oh, and a couple of messages from men saying, you know, you've sort of educated me and, mm. you know, thanks for talking about it. So, you know, I think that sort of spot last week was really helpful for lots of people.
Yeah.
So look, as we're into February, hooray.
Thank God.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, thank God January's gone.
We could start with a Ruth versus Ange challenge. Oh,
yeah,
great.
Trumpet,
fabulous.
Yeah.
Absolutely fabulous. That is fucking fantastic. And the challenge we're setting ourselves this week comes off the back of when I put the box up, everybody's talking about the thing that came up. One of the things that came up quite a lot was these wraps that everybody's
yeah.
making that started on TikToks. Yes.
Yeah. Your TikTok tortillas.
Brilliant. Where you cut it into four and you put a different kind of,
what do you call
gosh,
that?
What would you call it? Filling.
Topping.
Yeah. Filling, topping, all of that. And then you fold it, don't you, to
yes.
make the perfect
yes.
tortilla. So we are going to do, at some point, keep your eyes peeled both over on Facebook and on the gram.
Mm-hmm.
Ange and I are going to make our own version of said four-part TikTok tortilla.
Yeah, four-part
TikTok
tortilla.
So that's the challenge this week. And
yeah.
I think we should ask, maybe we should put out a bit of a poll. Who's
yes.
looks the best?
Absolutely,
Whose is the neatest? That's definitely
yeah.
going to be yours.
Who's picked the best fillings?
Yes.
You
Which
know,
one would you like
vibe.
To eat? All
yeah.
of that vibe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So keep your eyes peeled on Facebook and Instagram, and we will be doing our TikTok tortilla challenge. Anyway, this week we're starting with, shall we?
La big question.
Oh, it feels
yeah,
good
little,
to have it back.
Yeah, a little
that
fade
is comforting.
Out there.
That is really comforting.
So we had a big question this week through from Anthony on the gram. Now he
yeah.
has asked a very, I think, very, very good question here.
I do, yeah.
So he asks, if you were arrested with no explanation, what would your friends assume you had done?
Damaged somebody's car because I couldn't get into mine. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to an old episode where I talk about fat girls' problems of having to do a slide through when people
Doing
don't even
through.
Park too close, but
no.
just park their car next to mine and I'm unable to get in. I think it would be something around severe damage to somebody else's car because I've been unable to get into my own.
Mm.
I think yours would be drunk and disorderly.
That's what I was going to say. Some yeah. kind of, I was thinking along the lines of sort of an ASBO, some sort of antisocial behaviour.
Oh my God.
That, or the two, you know, three things came to mind. Drunk,
okay.
drunk and disorderly,
yeah.
some sort of ASBO and antisocial shit,
yeah.
or a stabbing. Because
wow, that escalated quickly. I did not see the third one being a stabbing.
I quite often use the term, sometimes I just want to stab you in the eye. Sometimes I say, what? I mean, you know,
okay,
I never
guys,
will actually
if this
do
is
that.
The first episode you've listened to, she's not a psychopath or a sociopath. I promise you.
Not all the time. Just no. occasionally those sort of
hormonal,
tendencies
she
come
can
out.
Get a bit like that.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it could be
You would never do that, though. So it wouldn't be the third one. Because in all seriousness, you would never do that. You know that it's no, Ange. Come on.
Never say never, Pats. You know, if someone's really getting to me.
If this is gonna make the edit, we need to very clearly outline that we do not condone that kind of violence. But I think the top two, like, yeah, Asbo, like, I think for you it would be like playing your music too loud.
Too loud. Yeah, it would be that sort of shit. Yeah.
Or driving too close to the vehicle in front.
I did think about the driving aspect. Yeah.
You know what mum would be arrested for, don't you? Losing her shit over Scrabble.
Yes.
Again, if you haven't listened to a previous episode, we talk about Scrabblegate going on in our mum and dad's house at the moment, which has taken a bigger turn this week. Mm. Mum, again, seriously lost it, told dad she wasn't fucking playing anymore.
I mean, how many times has Marg said she's not playing anymore and then just goes back again the next day more, you know, horrendous whipping of Scrabble from Mal?
Like, mums would be the police would walk in and there'd just be Scrabble pieces strewn everywhere. Yeah. And dad would be tied up.
Tied
to a
chair.
With the board on his head.
Yeah. And mum will have spelled out dickhead in Scrabble letters.
That would be mum's, wouldn't it? Some kind of Scrabble-esque losing it.
Definitely.
When we spoke to mum and dad on Sunday, it all kicked off again. Dad, mum was 100 in the lead, and then dad won by 14 points, which I think just pushed mum completely
over the edge. So well, I think that's a great question.
And if you want to message in and let us know what you think you'd be arrested for, if you got arrested and your friends didn't know, what would they assume you'd done?
Yeah.
We'd love to hear. Or if you've got any stories of being arrested.
I was going to say, or if you actually have been arrested.
Yeah.
So as per last week, where we did this new segment, now are you going to sing this, Pats?
Everybody's talking about.
Brilliant. So this week everybody's talking about Married at First Sight Australia.
I am absolutely addicted and obsessed with
you
this
are.
Program.
Yeah, you have become obsessed.
So for anyone who hasn't seen Married at First Sight, it is essentially that. So it started in Denmark and a team of experts.
I didn't realise it started in Denmark.
Yes. Yeah. So a team of experts, like you've got a relationship psychotherapist, you've got a love analyst, there's like a whole team of experts who you submit an application to be part of the show. They go through your application and they match you based on compatibility with somebody that they think you could be married to.
Yeah.
And you meet them, if you're in the show, you meet your husband or wife for the first time on your wedding day. So you don't see a picture, you don't know anything about them. The show just contacts you and say, we found you a match. And then the first time you meet your husband or wife is when you get to the end of the aisle and they're stood there and you sort of say, and it, sometimes it's quite awkward because there's been a couple where one of them's had to say, sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Yeah.
Like, they're so
I've seen that.
They forget to introduce themselves.
Yes. I mean,
and it's a whole fully fledged wedding, like reception, bridesmaids, you know, it's not like some just like quiet registry office.
No, it's the whole shebang.
The whole big shebang.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, the families are all there and best men, bridesmaids, all of that stuff.
And then they go, once they've gotten married, had their big day, they then go on their honeymoon. And that's kind of like the real sort of, you know, crux of time that they have to spend together and get to know each other. And
there is so much explosive drama.
Yeah.
And there's so much shit that goes down.
Yeah.
It is totally addictive. And I can understand why it came up as like everybody's talking about. I can really get it.
So I've watched the first three.
Okay, so who have you met couples wise?
So we've met, now I can't remember their names, so you're gonna have to
Yeah,
I think it's Cameron and
Jules, the
Jules,
ginger,
that's the one. Yeah,
very pretty Auburn sort of hair,
stunning
she
looking woman.
She is beautiful, isn't
she? She is,
and Cameron's attractive as well.
Yes, he is. So Cameron and Jules,
they're lovely.
I think
I love them.
I cannot see that not working.
Well, I don't know if you heard, but the experts said it's the best match they have. It's the best compatibility match they have ever done in any series of Married at First Sight.
I can well believe that. And I've never watched any of these programs, whether
not?
It's Australia or the UK or anywhere else. I've never watched them. So this is all new shit to me.
I did a bit of research because I was like, is it a legal marriage? I wanted to know if it's just
like... It
can't
be a legal
marriage. No, it is. It is. What? I did some research into it. So... It's a fully legal, fully fledged marriage, and the couple have to remain married for the whole series.
How long is the series?
Well, I'm on episode 18. There's 20 episodes, and I don't think it's finished yet. I think because there was 19 when I started, but now there's 20. So I think it's still kind of running.
Okay, so it's a good few months they've got to be together then. Yeah.
If they want to get a divorce, the production company and or the channel will only help to up to a certain... amount of fees. Yeah.
Bloody hell.
So if you decide, actually, and there's only been two couples in any of the series, it started in Denmark, and there's only been two couples worldwide in any of the series that have actually made it, both American.
Really?
Yeah. One's been married for a good few years, had a baby. The other couple have got a baby on the way.
Wow.
I know. But
that
out of all of the series that have been done, and this has gone like all over the world, only two couples have...
I mean, that's not boding well for this shit actually
working,
is it?
I think the premise of it, I mean, in terms of like making good TV, it's absolutely amazing. Mm. It's so good. The TV is so good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But in terms of like an experiment, it's such a weird one.
On paper, I kind of get it. Like, I kind of understand what they're doing to match people up and, you know, basing it on... personalities and, you know, lifestyle and whatever, you know, things they've possibly been through in their life, all that sort of stuff. I kind of get that. But ultimately, you only really get to know someone through spending time with them.
That's right.
So you're starting back to front, really, because you're kind of getting married to someone you have no idea about, really, other than what's potentially written down on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And then you kind of work backwards and go, actually, you are not the person I thought you were, based on, you know, what psychologists have, decided you're about.
The other thing is, I think, is that it's really interesting when you see couples who have that instant connection and you think, but God, is this going to stand the test? Like, is there anything under, like, sure, you can't keep your hands off each other. They're both very attractive people. But for me, it's like, okay, once this has died out, what are you?
What else is there?
Here's a question for you. If you took part in the show and you got to the end of the aisle and it was Ian, how would you feel? You don't know him.
I'd run away. Obviously, just saying that for podcast for gags.
As a joke. You'd run a mile. You'd be like...
I'd be like, that. Fuck this. I'm
God,
off. See
is
you guys.
That who I'm compatible with?
Is that who you put me with?
Okay, so we are now into dickish behaviour.
Yes.
Now, we've come up with this one ourselves off the back of watching a very funny video on Instagram that I shared on my stories by... an account called Sick Made TV, and it's basically a video of somebody eating pasta in a meeting
over a Zoom meeting.
Yeah. Or could be in person, but it got us thinking about one thing that I find a bit dickish, and apologies to anybody that does this, but I get a lot at the moment when I'm like in work calls or whatever, people who come into the meeting going, I'm so sorry, but does anyone mind if I eat my lunch? Like, somebody's going to go, actually...
I do.
Yeah. I've got a real massive problem with you chomping on your sandwich whilst we're having a meeting. Like, why do people think people would get annoyed with that?
Mm.
I might actually, the next time somebody does it, I might say, yeah.
I'd rather you didn't. To be honest, Sandra, I find it quite rude. We're here for a meeting. We're not here for you to chomp away on your pasta salad. Okay.
Also, though. There is something about how over the top people go when they're eating pasta.
Yeah.
So like they hold the pot out away from their body.
Yeah.
Their fork is very dramatic with the fork. They nod at the prodding of the pastas, like very dramatically holding the fork up when they're not using it as a way of sort of saying, guys, I'm fucking eating my pasta, yeah. Lots of long swallows, lots of like touching of the chest. Like, oh God,
covering the mouth. Sorry about that. Sorry, just give me just 1 second. I'm just chomping.
Yeah, I'm just gonna finish chewing. Lots of like finger hand actions up to the screen. And also, I think when people bring like pasta into a meeting, loads of fucking condiments. They open the pot and it's like a bit of salt, bit of pepper, bit of mayonnaise.
Bit of dressing. Yeah.
And then you're like, bit they're trees. Done now. Yeah, they're done. Oh, no, bit of cheese. Oh, bit of tuna's now going, oh, God, they're actually making their lunch.
It's like I'm at a chef's table.
Yeah. Not only should they come in and ask if I mind them eating their lunch, they really should say, can I make and eat it?
Do you mind if I create my lunch whilst on the Zoom and then I'll eat it in front of you?
I've got some colleagues I work with who make a really fucking massive deal of it. Guys, just before we start, does anybody... I'm so sorry. I've had such a manic day. I've been nonstop.
Do you think, though, that there is a bit about...
telling you how busy they've been.
Having to show how busy they are. Yeah.
Oh, God,
they haven't actually had time for a quick lunch break on their own without having to be on a Zoom.
Yeah. It's like,
I think it's...
I've had back-to-back phone calls as well. I'll tell you one thing.
Back-to-back.
Sandra phoned me. I was on the phone for 45 fucking minutes. Thanks a lot, Sandra. That's what I was going to eat the sandwich. And by this point, you're thinking, you've wasted 10 minutes telling me about the sandwich. Not really asked. But anyway, look, guys, I'll turn my mic off. I'll really try not to be, you know, over the top with it.
And then they do.
Yeah,
and then they're over the top with it.
They're holding it out. They're, you know, prodding with the fork. Like, if you want to eat a sandwich or a pasta salad in a meeting, if you're ever in a meeting with me, just know I don't give a shit. Just get on and eat it.
You know, I've had it with someone that I work with just recently.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Where they've actually been making a bacon sandwich.
No.
Whilst... Yes.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Full on. Like, you know, we're
on the
Zoom.
They've got their laptop set up.
Yeah. So they're in the kitchen, moving around.
They acknowledge that they're making a bacon sandwich.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I'm just making a quick bacon sandwich. Oh, all right, then. I mean, you know, we're actually supposed to be working. But, yeah, you carry on making
your
bacon sandwich.
Yeah. Crack on with your bacon
sandwich. And obviously, you know, you're grilling shit. So your grill pan's coming out. He's turning shit over. He's putting back in. Yeah, that sounds really good. Yeah, great. I've just got to pop over and get my bread. I'll be back in a second. Gets the bread, brushes away. And then, you know, 15 minutes in, he's done. He's sitting down. He's chomping on his bacon sandwich. So, yeah, that has actually happened to me.
That is so funny.
Yeah, over a Zoomerang.
I've got to eat a bacon sandwich.
Yeah. And also... that then makes me want a bacon sandwich.
Yeah, well, I want
one.
So
I'm like,
now.
I'm annoyed now.
Because
I've
now
been
I
on this meeting. You've made yours. You're eating it in front of me.
Yeah.
I've got a pasta salad, which is dickish.
I'm going to eat very dramatically in front of everyone.
In your face.
To see. But if you haven't seen the video, go to Sick Made TV on Instagram.
Very funny
have a look
video.
At it. We'll perhaps try and post it on the Facebook page as well. Because he just sums it up absolutely
perfectly. Yeah, he is
in
very
the way
funny.
That he sits. And it's the fork, like the overdramatic with the fork, like prodding all the pasta whilst nodding, listening to what's going on.
His hand movements.
Up to the mouth.
Covering his mouth.
Sorry,
guys. Yeah, sorry, just excuse me.
And
then.
Also, just his like, he's like really over exaggerating his head nods. Like, he's sort of saying, although I'm eating, guys, I am very committed to this meeting. I'm going to show you with how much I'm going to nod my head.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Very
funny. Just thought that was quite dickish, but also very, very funny.
So we are now into our sort of, again, new segment. Where we are,
which we haven't actually named for people. We didn't say what the name was last week. It's called Don't Go There.
Yeah, so this new segment, Don't Go There, is basically hoping to maybe talk about things that generally people don't want to talk about. And again, this kind of came off the back of what's everybody talking about.
Yeah.
And we thought actually this would be an interesting thing to put in here. So the thing we are going to go there about is female masturbation. The intake of breath.
God, the girls actually masturbate.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And obviously this has come off the back of, I don't know if anyone's, I'm pretty sure most people have seen it or heard of it. The whole thing around Zoe Sugg.
Yeah.
And she's obviously put some stuff on her Zoella. Is it a website?
It's a blog. Yeah. A blog. She's got a blog. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's put some stuff on there that then has been being used by schools to educate
GCSE students, we should say, not primary school or younger. So the GCSE curriculum board used some of Zoella's blog posts, I think, around kind of initially it was around like mental health and stuff like that. She's written about that quite a lot, so they started using it, and then they dropped her because they found out she did a post about female sex toys and pleasure.
And off the back of that, lots of media frenzy around it, and you know, the whole thing about why is that such an issue? Why is it not actually being talked about?
But the media were the ones that were saying, they just reported that she'd been dropped by a lot of exam boards, and then Zoella came out. Well, Zoe, she is now on her Instagram. Zoe Sugg came out and said, "I just want to address the fact that I've been dropped. I didn't even know that exam boards were using my content, so I don't know how I could have been dropped from something I didn't know about." But also, secondly, she makes the very valid point that her viewers and listeners and blog readers and everything like that have grown up with her. And when she started, she was 19 and had a lot of that age group listening to her, following her, watching her YouTube content. But now all of those people, men and women, are in their 30s. So, you know, but it sort of sparked this conversation about female pleasure, female masturbation. You know, it's not like they were targeting it to 10-year-olds. This is GCSE students. Some of them will already be 17.
Also, it highlights the fact that what is wrong with talking about that at that age anyway?
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. If anything, I think it's a great thing. And I think it is. This is part of life. It's part of growing up. And actually, the difference with how girls and boys are treated in this area is huge. It's just massive. And you know, it's for boys, it's like, oh yeah, that's the thing you'll do, and we can have a bit of a joke about it, and I'll you know give you a magazine, and you know all that sort of stuff is quite normal. It's talked about for girls.
Well, it's
and for
expected
women.
It's not just talked about with boys, is it? It is expected that boys will hit puberty and they will
and
begin
off they go
to explore their body, and they will begin to masturbate. That is the expected norm for teenage boys. But with teenage girls and with women in general, there is still this like, oh, not sure you should be doing that.
Absolutely.
Not sure that's particularly ladylike, whatever the fuck ladylike is or whatever that means. Like, you know, there's this whole, and I think as well, if you go back into like, you know, sex within relationships, which obviously years ago was sex within marriage, you know, if you go back years and years in our society, it was sex outside of marriage was very frowned upon. But you know, things like you know, rape within marriage in this country was and that just shows that is about the pleasure of the man, isn't it? It's not about women being satisfied in the bedroom. It's not about women experiencing pleasure or enjoying it. The message that has been sent for years is that sex is about men. So therefore, men have the right and are expected to explore their bodies.
Yeah.
Women shouldn't do that. It's not what you do. It's not proper. It's not correct. Said who? Like,
exactly.
The patriarchy. Like, said who that women shouldn't say, this is what I like and this is what I don't like in the bedroom? And I know that because I figured it out for myself.
And I actually think, I think even if I look back to my teenage years, you know, that sort of 15, 16s, this was not
No.
This was just not talked about.
No, and you were made to feel like it was wrong.
Yes. There was no information about it. No. There was no sort of this is okay and you are, exploring your body, getting to know your body, finding out the things that actually you like.
Yeah.
Those conversations just did not happen ever.
No. And well, do you remember when More magazine brought out Position of the Week?
Yeah.
That was like
what?
Oh my God.
I remember
that being this huge, what? In a regular girls' magazine, there's this talk of sex. Bigger than that, there's a drawing of a sexual position that a woman might like. What?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is good shit.
This is fucking genius, guys. Well done.
Yeah.
But it was so massive, wasn't it?
It
was such a big thing for that magazine. To even think about printing something for women that was about sex.
About them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's the thing for me now with all of this being so high profile at the moment around Zoe Sugg and then other sort of women that I follow on Instagram also kind of coming out and sort of standing with her. Also as well, some of the women I follow basically quite often talk about toys that they use, things that they like, where you can get them from, what it will do for you. And I just, I think for me, it's almost come too late to a certain extent.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, same for me probably.
Yeah, but I think for my daughter, I'm like, thank God.
Go for it,
thank
girl.
God these things are being discussed and being normalize that there isn't any shame around it, that it is something that you're supposed to do and you should enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And it makes me, being a mum to two teenagers, some of those conversations I've had with them, but some of them I sort of think, well, you probably don't want me to talk to you about this. It's just not, I don't want my mum talking to me about masturbating. I just, it's just not. But at the same time, I know that she will have seen some of this stuff. She loves Zoe Sugg. She follows. So she will have seen this.
Yeah.
And I just think if it helps her to kind of start to normalize that, and if at any point she wants to talk to me about it or ask me any questions, I'd like to think I'll be, open and honest enough to have that conversation. But I just think for now, that sort of generation and the generations that come after her, this is incredible, and I just think it's opened up this conversation.
Well, I think Megan Barton Hanson, who was on a couple of series of Love Island ago, she got a huge amount of stick because she said a lot in the villa how much she loves sex and how much she's bisexual and how much she just really enjoyed sex with both men and women and how sex was a really big thing. And she basically came out to being branded a slag. Whereas all the other men in there had talked about sex, how many hundreds of women they slept with.
Yeah.
And it was like, all hail the heroes. And that's the thing, isn't it? That's the bollocks about this. It's like, if a woman comes out, puts her hands up and says, I masturbate, I've got toys, I love having sex, I really find it pleasurable, I've had sex with this amount of men. It's like, oh God, you're such a slag.
You're the local bike.
Yeah.
Kind of.
If men do it, it's like, oh yeah, okay, oh, cool. Wow. What a stud. Yeah. Oh my God, you must be really good in the bed. And you just think, don't you? Like, what message are we sending to women about what sex can mean for them?
Yeah.
And all I hope for, Ellen is that she grows up knowing what she likes and what she doesn't like, and she can get fulfillment and enjoyment out of any of that stuff when she's at an appropriate age to do it. You just want her to live and enjoy that aspect of being a woman.
Yeah.
And I think the more that we say, women masturbate.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah.
Females do wank.
Yeah. And it's bloody brilliant.
Anyway, we've rattled to the end of another episode.
We have, yeah.
We have. Don't forget that
we've covered
a
lot there, Pat.
Oh, we've covered a lot of ground.
We have covered a lot of ground. Yeah.
And don't forget that you can find us on Facebook, the Finding the Funny podcast Facebook page.
You can find us on the gram. I am at Ange Corden.
And I'm at Ruth Corden. Alternatively, you can send us an email, hello@ruthcorden.com. But we'll be back next week helping you to find more of the funny.